Join me, Lou Regani, as we explore the history of Racine, Kenosha, Wisconsin. For over 30 years, I've told the story of our community, and now I'm excited to be part of civic media.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Another two-year college is closing in Wisconsin. The University of Wisconsin in Oshkosh is closing its Fox Cities campus a year from now. Enrollment has dropped by nearly two-thirds over the past decade. UW System Schools have closed four other two-year branch campuses since last year. The First Lady of the United States, Jill Biden, visited Green Bay Thursday, launching the Seniors for Biden-Harris campaign. Democrats are courting elderly voters by highlighting the contrast between their administration and former President Donald Trump's stance on issues important to seniors. Jill Biden says age is not the issue in this election.
But what this election is about, it's about the character of the person leading our country. It's about finishing the job we started.
Polls are showing Biden and Trump are neck and neck in popularity among Wisconsin voters. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
Baseball tonight. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers host the Cincinnati Reds. Freddie Peralta against the Reds. Hunter Green. The Cubs lost again last night to the Tampa Bay Rays 3-2. Chicago has now lost eight of their last nine series. NFL. Green Bay Packers have signed their first round draft pick. Offensive lineman Jordan Morgan. He was asked what does he think it'll take to earn a starting job this fall.
Every day you start to be the best. You start to be your best, and you compete with yourself first before you compete with everybody else. And that's the one thing I want to do.
College football, Mason Posa is a 6'3" high school linebacker from New Mexico, ranked as one of the best players in the nation. Last night, Posa announced what school he's committed to.
And for the moment we've all been waiting for. For the next 3 to 4 years, I've been committed to University of Wisconsin.
That's linebacker Mason Posa with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Join me, Lou Regani, as we explore the history of Racine, Kenosha, Wisconsin. For over 30 years, I've told the story of our community, and now I'm excited to be part of civic media to continue this journey. So won't you listen in and even be part of the discussion? Tune your radio to 1400 AM or 99.9 FM and 98.1 FM. You can always stream the show live by downloading the Civic Media app.
The Lou Regani Show, Sundays 7 till noon on WRJN. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Sunshine today will have highs in the upper 70s. Mostly clear tonight, a low around 53. Partly sunny, back to the mid-70s for Saturday. Saturday night, a few showers, maybe some thunderstorms, a low of 62. For Sunday, scattered showers and storms, and a high near 87.
It's 64 at our studios.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Welcome in. It's finally Friday. Good morning, everyone. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here on the Midwest Farm Report. I know if you're milking cows, it's just another day. Remember, those girls need attention 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, especially when you get the heat that we've had around Wisconsin lately. We'll talk weather with Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, in about 15 minutes. What I can tell you is it looks like we've got at least a good 24 to 36 hours of dry weather. Keep your fingers crossed on that. Today, it's going to be a little sticky, probably daytime highs right around 80 degrees, a little cooler on the lakeshore. Then overnight, maybe a sliver of a chance of rain along the lakeshore, about a 30% chance of rain possibly before 1 p.m. in the La Crosse area. Otherwise, Saturday looks pretty good too. Daytime highs in the upper 70s. Then Sunday, all of a sudden, another chance of rain pops back up. Like I said, Stu's on the way with the weather details. Up in just a moment, Aubrey Schlimgen, our summer intern, caught up with the brand new president of the Wisconsin State FFA Association. You'll hear from her and him. We also are going to be talking about our veterans in rural communities. You know, there's a lot of resources available to veterans if they just know where to look. We're going to visit with a veteran that I had in studio talking about the benefits he found through AARP. Stick around for that conversation. We've got a lot to cover and not much time to do it. We'll get started next.
What's that you say? You didn't hear what the guest said, or you missed part of the conversation? No problem. Pop on over to our website, MidwestFarmReport.com, and glance through our podcast playlist. You'll see the entire conversation or the completed show, all in that list. Plus, you might stumble across something that you missed. Score! That podcast playlist is also a great way to pass the time in the truck cab or the tractor seat. That's MidwestFarmReport.com.
Aubrey Schlimgen here at the 95th Wisconsin State FFA Convention, sitting here with the newly elected State FFA President for the Wisconsin Association of FFA, which is Jesse Thompson from the Gail Ettrick Tremplo FFA chapter. So, Jesse, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm Jesse Thompson, newly elected, as Aubrey said, State FFA President. And I'd like to go back in my FFA journey a little bit to give everyone a little more perspective. So I came to my first state FFA convention in eighth grade with my old advisor, Mr. Kent Hockey, and walked through the doors into Hall CD, into the session hall, and instantly knew that those state officers up on that stage inspired me. And I aspired to be them one day, and I'm so thankful to be standing here today. But throughout high school, I participated in a lot of FFA activities that got my journey, such as leadership development events. I love the prepared speaking event. That's one of my favorites. Career development events, workshops, and then I was pleased to serve as last year's state FFA reporter and had an awesome year with my teammates. We made incredible leaps and bounds to our association and record attendance at the convention this week.
So what were some record-breaking numbers that you got to experience this week? Obviously, you know, thinking that you're going to retire the FFA jacket and then end up being elected as president. So take us through some highlights of this week and how it was to feel and experience those record-breaking numbers. And could you touch on some of those as well?
Yeah, I remember standing during opening ceremonies. I'm on the right side of the session hall and watching as Amy Gentius, our past state secretary now, announced the number. And each time, the chills just went up my arms because those are the people that are here to celebrate FFA and what FFA is all about. And that is so incredible. And she read off numbers like 3,200. And then we got to today and it was 3,900. And I can't remember all their numbers, but 3,900 something, record breaking, great attendance. And just exciting to see the support for FFA, such an incredible organization that has led us so far into the future, created so many leaders, helped so many people out in careers and life goals and so many more things.
So now that your year is like rounding out and you're going to be starting another year, but take us through what your year has been like and being able to serve these FFA members and a record-breaking attendance with 25,911 members with Wisconsin Association of FFA. That's a new record for Wisconsin FFA. How has it been serving this year with all of those members?
It has been absolutely incredible. I'll take you through a year as a state officer, and we start in the summer where we're just elected at state convention, super excited, get some training, travel to events throughout the summer, and then it's really exciting in the fall because we get our boots on the ground doing fall leadership workshops, chapter visits, national convention, all sorts of things, and we get to make so many relationships with members within our sections but across the state. And these are people that here at convention this week that I've watched me and my teammates and everyone else come like it's a big family reunion, and that's so incredible. And then we hit the spring and we get into banquets, leadership development events, so many more connections to build and celebrations to be had, and then state convention. So super exciting.
So that is exactly what the newly elected state officer team is going to experience this year, and obviously what you got to experience this last year. So it's super exciting to see, you know, that family grow and all those aspects. But tell us a little bit more about yourself outside of the Blue Jacket and the FFA world, because obviously now that you are a familiar face to most, but now going to be a new face in a new position to a lot of other people representing the Wisconsin Association of FFA. Tell us a little bit more about who is Jesse Thompson.
Yeah, so I grew up on my family's hobby farm, showing dairy cattle, raising sheep, all sorts of livestock, and I actually work with a local farm to milk my dairy cows so I can raise calves at the farm without having to milk. My dad owns a feed mill, so grew up riding in the truck and riding tractor and all that sort of thing. I'm also super passionate about agriculture policy. I've been really involved in Farm Bureau and FFA Day on the Hill and going to events like that to practice advocating in the legislature and all sorts of places like Washington, D.C. and Madison. And that's just been something I've really tried to lean into throughout this last year, but not only this last year, but throughout my entire journey in FFA.
And what are your future plans? Obviously, now your future plans are going to be put on hold for this year to serve the Wisconsin Association of FFA. But, you know, after this year is said and done, I know it's crazy to think about at this point, but what do you want to do in your future plans?
I want to go to school, hopefully for agricultural communications or agricultural policy, maybe agribusiness, still trying to figure out what path that is. I'm excited to be able to step on a college campus eventually and get that figured out. But until then, I'm happy serving the Wisconsin Association of FFA.
And finally, what are you going to be representing on behalf of yourself this year, serving in this position as state president? What is the message that you want to portray to Wisconsin FFA members and even members across the entire national FFA organization? What is that message that you want to portray as you begin your year of service?
As I walked through this year with my teammates and the incredible 25,911 FFA members that our state has, I noticed a few traits that members kept reminding me of, but continuously dedication was one of those words. And as I traveled, I was swiftly reminded of all the dedication, whether that's for a fruit sale that we're raising up to 60, 80 more $1,000, or whether that's coming to state FFA convention and competing in high school quiz bowl, or just making friends. Dedication to the FFA and our organization and our futures is what members from across the state have reminded me of. And that's something I want to hold in my blue jacket as I travel this year.
And what finally is a message that you want others to know about, you know, the FFA organization and the agricultural industry, as you are going to be representing that within the next year, that, you know, if someone were to come across this and, you know, be piqued of interest of FFA and agriculture and what do we do, what do you want to represent on behalf of that as well?
There's a couple things. First of all, there's a place for everyone in agriculture. Whether you grew up on a farm like me, or you just love communications and marketing, or you love science, or you just want to manage a group of people, there's a place for you in the agricultural realm. But also, I want to remind everyone that without agriculture, we have nothing. So let's find a career here, because we're an accepting place, an accepting organization, and let's walk into the future proudly.
Again, that was Jesse Thompson, your newly elected state FFA president for the Wisconsin Association of FFA, reporting here at the Alliant Energy Center for the 95th Wisconsin State FFA Convention as it comes to a close. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Aubrey Schlumgen.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
It's official. Governor Tony Evers proclaims this June is Pride Month in Wisconsin. But did you know the state has a long history of activism alongside LGBTQ plus communities and allies? The Civic Media Radio Network supports the impact and celebrations and is sharing thoughtful stories all month long.
Bob Neal and Edgar Hellam fell in love in the 1930s. But they also fell in love with Mineral Point, Wisconsin, where they worked together to rescue and restore buildings set to be demolished. The gay couple gave Cornish language names to those properties. The best known may be Pendarvis, a piece of history from the mid-1800s when Mineral Point was a lead mining town. Their success during the Great Depression is considered the start of what's turned the area into an art and tourism hub. It's a story of love and preservation, and you can still experience it today thanks to Bob and Edgar. I'm Terry Barr.
Join me, Lou Regani, as we explore the history of Racine, Kenosha, Wisconsin. For over 30 years, I've told the story of our community, and now I'm excited to be part of Civic Media to continue this journey. So won't you listen in and even be part of the discussion? Tune your radio to 1400 AM or 99.9 FM and 98.1 FM. You can always stream the show live by downloading the Civic Media app.
The Lou Regani Show, Sundays 7 till noon on WRJN.
Watch out! You got me!
The galaxy is safe once again.
In the pretend universe, kids play with pretend guns. In the real world, it's up to us to make sure they don't get their hands on a real gun. If you have a gun in the house, keep it locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
President, join our own Aubrey Schlumgen, and I'll tell you what, Cheryl Zimmerman, our state executive director, she's kind of happy to be able to take a break as well. Cheryl tells us that when it comes to those FFA officers that were introduced to the audience yesterday, their job is just beginning. She's going to take them up to Marshfield next week, get the next set of training started.
Well, we're really excited as we start next week training the new officer team. So they're going to be focused on training in the next few weeks over the summer. And then what we'll be doing is planning for our fall leadership workshops and all the events, and then we will get more members involved. So just really excited to kick off the year with the 11 individuals who will lead the association, get them ready to go, and then before you know it, I hope that summer goes a little slow, but before you know it, school will be here, and then we'll have the officers out and about working with all of our FFA chapters and members, and we're looking forward to an exciting year. Membership is continuing to grow in the state, and we just hope that we continue to see that happen.
Well, they had record-breaking year at the Wisconsin FFA convention, not only as far as overall membership across the state reaching new highs, but even the registration and attendance at this year's convention, nearly 4,000 strong, a brand new record. Cheryl Zimmerman says, you know, really the goal is ultimately to get more.
Well, it's awesome. And again, you know, head honcho, this is a team effort. I mean, it's like there's just no way that one person can do all of this. And, you know, we have such an awesome association. We have great members that get involved. We've got advisors that, I mean, really it starts with the advisors. If we wouldn't have the wonderful advisors that we have, we wouldn't see these kids and students involved in so many great things. But we're excited. We're proud of who we are. We're proud of FFA. And FFA is just something that is for everyone. So, you know, again, like I said, getting more students involved and supporting our advisors, we're looking forward to a great year.
Cheryl Zimmerman, Wisconsin State Executive Director of the Wisconsin FFA Association. A great convention. Well done. And like I said, we've got some pictures up. All kinds of conversations we'll be having closer to October, when a lot of our Wisconsinites head toward Indianapolis for the National FFA Convention. Let's pivot now. Time for a Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update on a Friday. Stumach, Ag Meteorologist, former state FFA officer. Do you remember what kind of training you went through when you were getting to be the big cheese around the state?
Yeah, 42 years ago? Yeah, it was still a big deal. We spent a lot of time learning that first summer, I tell you that.
Did they, now they go up to Jag Lake for a lot of the, team building stuff. Where did they take you guys? It used to be Green Lake.
Yeah, it was Green Lake. We went to Madison a couple of times. We had several sessions early on in summer, between June and July. So we learned a lot.
I always love to bring that kind of stuff up, because back in the day when Stu was walking around in the corduroy jackets and the black dress pants, there wasn't as much air conditioning as there is today.
Air conditioning, what's that?
Yeah, no kidding. Especially when I think about going out to Green Lake for state convention. Holy potato bugs. It's gonna feel a lot like that this weekend, Stu. I mean, that hot, sticky, hang on you kind of weather. But at least it looks like we're gonna stay kind of dry for the next, 24, 36 hours?
Yeah, 24 or better. Unfortunately, I can't say we've got a clear weekend. There's going to be some rain trying to edge on in. A cool front's pulling southeast away from our part of the Midwest today, taking any kind of precipitation with it. There's really some rain all that far away. Southern Missouri, southern Ohio, southern Indiana, none of that a concern for us. I see a little bit of activity out in western Nebraska as well. There will be another low pressure system strengthening in the west, trying to push a warm front from the southwest up to the northeast, up into Wisconsin. And it's that warm front that will bring our next rain chance. I would expect that to happen for a lot of folks, maybe far northwest Wisconsin late Saturday afternoon, the rest of us overnight Saturday night into the day Sunday. In western Wisconsin, rain amounts could be pushing up in the half to one inch range, a whole lot lighter the further you head to the southeast part of the state, where it may only be a tenth of an inch or two. But there's going to be some rainfall here as we wrap up the weekend, staying very warm, upper 80s. There may be a 90 come Sunday, and that warm, sticky condition is staying around for us Monday with a bit of a rain chance lingering. Next week looks to be a little active, unfortunately. Every so often, at least a small chance that a little rain may try to build in. Not a dry hay making week the way it looks, at least at this point. Let's keep an eye on the maps and see how things shape up. Maybe we'll get a few breaks coming up for next week as well. I'll have forecast details right after
this. Around the clock, your dairy cows rely on you. And when you need support, Compeer Financial is here with cutting-edge ag finance technology, industry knowledge, and local experience to help your farm thrive. As avid supporters of the dairy industry, we tip our hats to you during June Dairy Month and every other month of the year. Contact us at 844-426-6733 or visit Compeer.com today. Compeer Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved.
Mutual Insurance is a proud sponsor of the Northern Wisconsin State Fair in Chippewa Falls. As a thank you for your support, they're giving away fair tickets. Visit ruralmutual.com/win and enter to win tickets to the Northern Wisconsin State Fair.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Alrighty, Stu, let's have that forecast. I mean, a lot of what we're going to live with this weekend, those poor folks down in Florida have been dealing with all week, haven't they?
Yep, they've had the rain. Now we're going to share some of that, especially in the northwest. I expect today that our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update is for sunny skies and a warm day. A lot of 80s or upper 70s, low 80s, if you will, and winds out of the northwest and north about 5 to 10. Still clear overnight in the mid-50s, east winds at 5. Some sunshine early Saturday, clouds develop, and like I've said, there could be a shower in northwest Wisconsin yet late in the afternoon, upper 70s and low 80s. 80s. Southeast winds 5 to 10. More likely some showers or even thunderstorms overnight into Sunday. The sunshine returns a bit later Sunday, but it sounds warm. Upper 80s, maybe some 90s with the south winds gusting to 25. Could be rain up to an inch or so in far northwest Wisconsin, Pam. Southeast Wisconsin, maybe a tenth of an inch or so. That's all there may be. So a big spread across the state.
Wow. All right. Very good. Well, Stephanie's going to be sitting in the big chair on Monday. I'm going up to River Falls to reunite with roommates.
Oh, you get wet and hot. You're lucky.
Oh, yeah. Well, knowing my crew, we won't be exposed to a lot of it, if you know what I mean.
Oh, you won't go outside and enjoy?
Well, we'll see about that. All right, buddy. Have a good weekend. We'll catch
all
up
right,
with you.
See ya.
Yeah. Stumacher, ag meteorologist with your Compeer Financial ag weather update on a Friday. Compeer Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture and rural America. Visit Compeer.com for more. Stephanie Hoff is on the way, as a matter of fact.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Yes, okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cow's milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant. 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of our cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you! Celebrating our dairy farmers with this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time, and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Join me, Lou Regani, as we explore the history of Racine, Kenosha, Wisconsin. For over 30 years, I've told the story of our community, and now I'm excited to be part of civic media to continue this journey. So won't you listen in and even be part of the discussion? Tune your radio to 1400 AM or 99.9 FM and 98.1 FM. You can always stream the show live by downloading the civic media app.
The Lou Regani Show, Sundays 7 till noon on WRJN.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Record rainfall is causing massive flooding in southern Florida, leaving thousands without power and five Florida counties under a state of emergency. CBS's Manuel Bajorquez is there.
The drenching downpour has left parts of Miami-Dade County impassable, with cars submerged and entire neighborhoods underwater.
Pope Francis will be a special guest today at the G7 summit in Italy.
President Joe Biden is set to meet one-on-one with Pope Francis. Mr. Biden, a devout Catholic, also met with the pontiff back in 2021.
CBS's Jared Hill says the Pope will be discussing AI, an issue high on the agenda for the G7 leaders. A manhunt is underway in the Houston area after an inmate escaped while he was in court for a hearing. Philip Vasquez is with the Harris County Sheriff's Office.
We have multiple resources from the Sheriff's Office, including Gulf Coast Violent Offenders Task Force, searching for this individual.
CBS News Brief. I'm Lindy Kenyon.
Civic
Civic Media News. I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Another two-year college is closing in Wisconsin. The University of Wisconsin in Oshkosh is closing its Fox Cities campus a year from now. Enrollment has dropped by nearly two-thirds over the past decade. UW System Schools have closed four other two-year branch campuses since last year. The First Lady of the United States, Jill Biden, visited Green Bay Thursday, launching the Seniors for Biden-Harris campaign. Democrats are courting elderly voters by highlighting the contrast between their administration and former President Donald Trump's stance on issues important to seniors. Jill Biden says age is not the issue in this election.
But what this election is about, it's about the character of the person leading our country. It's about finishing the job you started.
Polls are showing Biden and Trump are neck and neck in popularity among Wisconsin voters. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
Baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers host the Cincinnati Reds. Freddie Peralta against the Reds, Hunter Green. The Cubs lost again last night to the Tampa Bay Rays, 3-2. Chicago has now lost eight of their last nine series. NFL, Green Bay Packers have signed their first-round draft pick. Offensive lineman Jordan Morgan, he was asked, what does he think it'll take to earn a starting job this fall?
Every day you strive to be the best. You strive to be your best, and you compete with yourself first before you compete with everybody else, and that's the one thing I want to do.
College football, Mason Posa is a 6'3" high school linebacker from New Mexico, ranked as one of the best players in the nation. Last night, Posa announced what school he's committed to.
And for the moment we've all been waiting for. For the next 3 to 4 years, I'll be committed to University of Wisconsin.
That's linebacker Mason Posa with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Sunshine today will have highs in the upper 70s. Mostly clear tonight, a low around 53. Partly sunny, back to the mid-70s for Saturday. Saturday night, a few showers, maybe some thunderstorms, a low of 62. For Sunday, scattered showers and storms, and a high near 87.
Right now, it's 62.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A voter suppression bill aimed at students and younger voters in New Hampshire has moved forward in the state's legislature. It requires proof of citizenship papers from every registering voter and could disenfranchise thousands. HB 1569 would end decades of allowing a citizen registering who can't immediately access citizenship papers to use a sworn affidavit instead. It also requires narrow options for photo ID when voting, also with no opportunity for a sworn affidavit. There's almost no evidence of abuse of the sworn affidavit system, for which lying brings fines or prison. The bill is the latest in a decade of GOP bills to target thousands of New Hampshire student voters who are domiciled in the state most of the year and may register and vote if they qualify. GOP attempts to change domicile rules, end same-day registration, and require in-state tuition have all failed in the legislature or the courts. Such a bill doesn't just affect students, however. A new survey of the Brennan Center for Justice suggests that 21 million voting-eligible Americans don't have ready access to proof of citizenship. HB 1569 is one of a number around the country targeting specific populations, including Black, Brown, and Native Americans. Governor Chris Sununu has not said whether he'll sign the bill. Litigation is likely if he does. Find out more and the groups taking action at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Over the past 20 years, Wisconsin has seen a huge increase in reported elder abuse cases. Elder abuse is the verbal, physical, emotional, sexual, or financial abuse of a senior citizen. It can also be the intentional or unintentional neglect of an older person. Wisconsin's population of seniors 65 and older is projected to grow significantly in the coming decades. That's why we all share the responsibility to help protect our seniors by recognizing and reporting any signs of elder abuse. If you believe that elder abuse has been inflicted upon yourself or someone you know, please report it. Call the Wisconsin Elder Abuse Hotline toll-free at 1-833-586-0107 or visit reportelderabusewi.org. Respect our elders. Report abuse. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Justice.
This project is supported by the Administration for Community Living, ACL, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, as part of a financial assistance award totaling $120,000 with 100% funding by ACL HHS. The contents are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official views of nor an endorsement by ACL HHS or the U.S. government.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ag Council.
Join me, Lou Regani, as we explore the history of Racine, Kenosha, Wisconsin. For over 30 years, I've told the story of our community, and now I'm excited to be part of civic media to continue this journey. So won't you listen in and even be part of the discussion? Tune your radio to 1400 AM or 99.9 FM and 98.1 FM. You can always stream the show live by downloading the Civic Media app.
The Lou Regani Show, Sundays 7 till noon on WRJN.
Now back to the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Woo-hoo! Looks like we've got a little dry weather on the way. That's just music to the ears of all our volunteers getting ready to host you for June dairy events this weekend. Welcome back, everybody. I'm the fabulous Farm Babe, Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. I feel a responsibility to run down some of the June dairy events that are happening this weekend around you. You can find them all at wisconsindairy.org. This weekend, Columbia County Moo Day Brunch in Lodi. That happens on Saturday. We've got the Sheboygan County Dairy Breakfast. That's at Vandosky Dairy in Cleveland on Saturday. Kenosha County Dairy Breakfast at the Crane Grain Farm in Salem on Saturday. Saturday and Sunday, Watertown Agribusiness Dairy Breakfast in Watertown. La Crosse has got their Lions Dairy Breakfast. That's going to be on Saturday. Also, don't forget, we've got the Kewaunee County Breakfast on the Farm. That's going to be coming up on Sunday. All those events and details available at wisconsindairy.org. So today is the 14th day of June. What can I tell you? Not too many items aside from Flag Day that I see on my list, but a couple happy birthdays. Boy George. Does everybody remember Boy George? I don't know if I should say he's a actor or a musician. Boy George is turning 63 today. Former tennis pro Steffi Graf. She's 55. And former President Donald Trump. He turns 78 today. And now you know. Well, like I said, if I sound excited about a little bit of dry weather stretched together, you're right. There's a lot of farms across the state of Wisconsin that want dry weather. They may still try to plant a few things even this late in June. Maybe more importantly, they're trying to control weeds and get some nutrients out to those crops that have been kind of underwater in many areas. Stephanie Hoff brings us an update from one agronomist's perspective on what we really need to get this crop going.
We're getting a field update from Pat Herbst. He's been in the business for 40 years as a certified crop specialist. He's based out of Darlington, and he says the southern half of the state is done planting, but they're still looking forward to some dry days.
I think most of the crop is planted in the southern part of the state for the most part. Maybe you get the other side of the Wisconsin River, I'm told there's crops not in the ground up there yet, but around here, 99% of the crop's planted.
On the flip side, though, has the rain caused any damage yet to some of these fields?
Oh, I believe that, especially the corn-on-corn fields, well, I believe we're starting to lose a little nitrogen, but, you know, I don't think we've lost at all. I think the corn has been in wet feet for so long that it's not taking up the nutrients to keep it green, and it's going backwards a little bit because the rotated corn, corn-on-bean stubble or corn-on-sod, seems to be coming along all right. Soybeans and the corn both need some sunshine and some heat, and we've got that all coming. So I'm optimistic on what the crop's going to do in the next 10 days.
The forecast is certainly more favorable. Everyone gets a chance to dry out, not just the corn.
Not just the corn. We can get this second pass application of herbicides on, get some foliar feeds and fungicide on. We've started at this location, we have started side dressing some nitrogen on some of the corn. I got high hopes. As long as we don't get a bunch more rain again, I think the crop will come around. I mean, last year, the timely rains, we had a heck of a crop. And I still think the crop will turn around and be all right this year. But just needs to dry out. The biggest thing this year was having the patience to wait till I got dry enough to plant. I mean, we're starting to see maybe some sidewall compaction, maybe where we planted a little wet. And I'm not blaming any farmers for planting wet because I would have planted too. But I see people that waited that extra day or two. The crop seems to be handling this wet weather a little better. But again, I think the heat and a little drier weather and the heat's going to bring it around.
What about pests? Are you scouting for bugs at all?
I scouted personally a lot of alfalfa fields yesterday. Some I found very little pressure, and then some I found heavy leafhopper pressure, and we're talking a mile or two apart. So scouting is really necessary right now, especially in the alfalfa crop. I don't see a lot of pests in the corn and beans yet. That's to come. But the biggest thing for our farmers to understand right now is we have lost a little bit of nitrogen. Side dressing nitrogen on corn is going to be key. I'm not saying you got to go crazy, but adding 50, 70, 100 units in on a side dress situation will bump your yields enough to cover the cost of the nitrogen for sure. But I think the corn needs a little bit of help, whether it be a foliar feed or a side dress of nitrogen, just to give it a little boost. That would be my advice to any farmer out there.
Well, and hey, with the forecast coming up, I mean, it looks like it's the time to do it.
Absolutely. For the most part, I think the crop looks good. Some of this corn's a little yellow, but I think that's going to come around. The wheat looks great. We made our applications of nitrogen early on that. We got weed control on. All the fungicide, I think we sprayed our last fields the week, late in the week last week, I should say. So usually when the wheat looks good, the corn does the same, but we'll see what happens.
Pat Herbst joining us. He's a certified crop specialist out of Darlington. And as you heard, he's hoping to see growers take advantage of the dry weather in the forecast to give their crops a boost with fertilizer and disease protection. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Just like some farm projects, they start out small, but they become gigantic. Bobcat Plus can relate. Bobcat Plus, Wisconsin's largest Bobcat dealer, has been in the family since 1991. They started out as one small dealer and now have grown to six locations. Butler, De Pere, Appleton, Eau Claire, Osseo, and their newest location, Kenosha. They offer new and used Bobcat equipment, parts and service, and rentals at every location to help your ag operation. Visit BobcatPlus.com. Bobcat. One tough animal.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. And remember, if you don't enter, you can't win. For more information, visit WISoybean.com.
We are on the soft side of trade on a Friday morning. Currently in Chicago, December corn's down 2.25 at 473. November soybeans down a nickel, 1155. July wheat's down 7.5, currently at 612 a bushel. Dairy continues to ride kind of a bullish trend. Next week, we should get our latest milk production figures. We'll see what that shows. Barrel cheese yesterday in Chicago gained 1.25 to 202.25. 40-pound block cheese, that was up 4.5 at 198.25. Double A butter, that slipped another 1.5, but it's still at $3.09 a pound. Now, the July Class 3 milk that goes into cheese right now, that drifted just a penny lower at $21.08. But August Class 3 milk closed 49 cents higher at $21.56. September milk was up 36 cents, $21.18 a hundredweight. So obviously a lot of market concern now on the heat that's building across the Midwest. We didn't see as dramatic a spring flush of milk production as usual, and we're not really building stocks like we normally would at this time of the year. We'll wait and see what those milk production figures look like coming up next week.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with a Work Money Minute about buying versus leasing a car. Okay, I gotta say up front, I love cars. I took auto shop in high school, I've worked on my own cars, I love driving stick, but I don't really get my sense of identity from the car I drive. Buying versus leasing comes down to whether having that shiny new car every few years really matters to you and if you can afford it. Leasing can make sense for middle or upper middle income people who really like having that shiny new car and can afford the mileage limits and the higher long-term costs, because it does cost more. But for the rest of us, purchasing a pre-owned vehicle that's in good shape is the most financially savvy decision that we could make about a car. For more tips on saving more and spending less, text MONEY, M-O-N-E-Y, to 88285. That's M-O-N-E-Y to 88285. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
1, 2, 3.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the Max Inc. radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
I love my kids so much. I once sat for 3 hours in the cold rain to watch her soccer team lose by 18 goals.
I love my kids so much. I once used a tube to suck snot out of her stuffed nose at 3 a.m.
You win.
Love your kids? Love them enough to make sure they're in the right car seat. From toddlers to tweens, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat to find the right seat for their age and size. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
If they can only network with the people that can help get those resources to them. And remember, in this day and time, it's not just about the veteran. It's also about their family, their caregiving system. I talked about it with Stu Martell. Stu is a veteran himself, and he has discovered a lot of resources he would have otherwise missed because of his involvement in AARP. He's kind of a volunteer. He got involved because he kind of liked some of the events that they held. And now he's turned into an advocate for veterans and the services available through AARP. He tells me a little bit more about how he got engaged in this volunteer effort.
At the time when I got out, it was in 72, it wasn't cool to be a vet.
Yeah.
So a lot of us just... okay, that's done, and we went on with our lives and didn't have anything to do with any of it. My brother-in-law, who was in the VFW, he kind of recruited me. We do, you know, we have a lot of programs. We, you know, we try to do outreach to people, and we have our own service officer in the post.
Is that kind of what's inspired you to try that with AARP, too?
Yeah, it's... at first with AARP, I like the programs that they push, you know, it's beneficial to the older people. So, you know, I tried, you know, going to a few events and things and I liked it. And so we started doing this volunteer advocacy stuff.
And you were telling me, it's for people that have a misunderstanding about the advocacy work, it's pretty easy. You actually enjoy it.
Oh, yeah. It's fun. You meet people from all over the state. Like, you know, they will come to, like, when the politicians are in session, we'll go and we'll lobby in front of the Joint Finance Committee, usually, because mm-hmm. that's... they hold the power. And so we will go and show up in mass, and then we'll have one or two people speak to the issue. And, you know, it works out good. The people in the Capitol know us. They'll say, oh, there's the red shirts, you know. And, you know, it's all pretty laid back. I mean, and then we'll split off and go speak to our own representatives.
Right. Stu Martell is in studio with us. He is a veteran. He's also a member of AARP of Wisconsin. He's just a volunteer. He's one of those people that got intrigued by the social side of AARP, the benefit side as far as services and free things. And now he is a voice that speaks up to a certain extent for veterans, living or sharing from his past experiences. What do you think, Stu? You know, like I said, there's a lot of people that talk about veterans in varying ways. What do you see AARP doing that veterans should know about, or veterans' families, for that matter, their caregivers?
Yeah, well, if they log into the website, and you know, you can go to AARP.org and then /veteran, it opens up a lot of stuff that. Offhand, let's see, it's like caregiving information and how to seek out county service officers to, you know, if you think you have a disability, you can go to them for help. They know the county service officers are really important, and so we push that a lot. And then we have, you know, our own programs that for, you know, just helping people manage problems that they might have with an older parent and, you know, taking care of them, and then taking care of yourself too, because if you're a caregiver, it's tough. Especially if you're trying to work or can't work because you're being a caregiver, there's a lot of programs that can give you some help and some ideas. So.
That's why I said at the outset, AARP is not just about the 55 plus, because to your point, if you're one of those caregivers, you've got a family of your own, but you're also taking care of mom or dad, both of which could have been veterans. There's those resources out there. But if you don't know where to go or how to work the system, they can elude you. Are there any areas in particular, Stu, that you really think people overlook? They're right there, like you said, at the click of a mouse, but they get overlooked?
Well, the big one to me is the county service officer, because I didn't realize how much they can do for you. Myself, I worked around jet aircraft.
Yeah.
And so I have tinnitus.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had it since then, because the jets that I worked on were very high pitched.
Mm-hmm.
Sound. So even wearing the earmuffs and stuff, they just weren't very effective back then. And so I went to the service officer, and they do all the paperwork, and they send it through the system. And it took three tries, and it went all the way to the top, where it gets looked at by what they call a judge.
Mm-hmm.
And I had letters from my doctor and stuff, and so they gave me a 10% disability for
mm-hmm.
the hearing mm-hmm. issue. But things like that, I mean, and then too, with the new PACT Act, it's hard to say, veterans from my era that were, you know, in the Agent Orange thing,
mm-hmm.
Agent Orange now is considered, if you were in Vietnam in country, you were exposed.
Mm-hmm.
It was that prevalent. And there's a lot of medical conditions that fall in that category that you will get disability payments, plus you know you can go and get medical care at the VA
yeah.
system. You know, I tell them, you know, some people, I don't know, they just aren't aware.
Mm-hmm.
And so they need a little boost and a, you know, no. Say, here, try this. And find, you know, you'll get some help. And right. the AARP is one of those. I mean, that's they're really putting some effort into it. And, you know, I appreciate it as a vet. And, you know, I just want to get that word out.
The humble voice of Stu Martell, serving the U.S. in the Air Force for 4 years and now trying to serve veterans as a volunteer through AARP. He's a Dane County native, still lives in Dane County where he's helping others get connected to those resources. He wants to remind all veterans, their families, and their caregivers, there's a great number of resources available in one place at aarp.org/veterans. AARP.org/veterans. And Stu also wanted me to tell you that if you are trying to find your county veterans service office, you can call and locate that at 844-947-2876. That's 844-947-2876. You'll also find those resources at AARP.org. Thanks, Stu, for the conversation and, of course, for your service. Stephanie Hoff steps into the big chair on Monday. I'm taking a couple days off, going to reunite with some college roommates in River Falls. Enjoy your weekend, folks.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
That? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
A new study shows pesticides can make agriculture more sustainable. Today on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for RHIZOL from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Marty Matlock and several of his colleagues at the University of Arkansas have published a new study showing that pesticides actually contribute to sustainable crop production.
There is a cost, a risk associated with the use of pesticides, and there's a cost, a risk associated with not using the pesticides. Our study asked, all right, we know that those risks occur. What happens if we just take them out? What we showed is that will lead to really bad impacts, increased greenhouse gas emissions, increased water use, increased land use demands, increased energy use for the food we eat.
Matlock says the study involved land producing corn, soybeans, and cotton.
These crops represent about 70% of agricultural lands in the United States, and they have significant economic impact as well. We all understood that the framework for the use made sense, but we didn't have the numbers. We had not conducted the life cycle assessment to quantify how much impact and how much improvement we saw. And I will tell you, we were surprised.
Matlock says the solution is pretty straightforward.
We're going to have to make sure we can produce enough with the land we have. Otherwise, we will convert forest lands, natural prairies, arable lands that are not in agriculture into agriculture in order to feed ourselves. And that will result in an enhanced biodiversity loss across the planet.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Darrell Anderson.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Consider yourself a snowbird with property in the South, or just like to vacation there. You'll want to keep an eye on what's predicted to be an active hurricane season from now through the end of November. Forecasters say that there's an 85% chance of above the normal number of hurricanes, especially in the Atlantic Basin. Here's what it could look like. 17 to 25 storms, 8 to 13 of them becoming hurricanes, and 4 to 7 of those could be major. If you're wondering why, temperatures in the Atlantic Ocean are near record warmth, and La Nina conditions are developing, and both of these support the formation of tropical storms. No matter where you go, it's information to keep you and your family weather ready. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to WRJN and W260 CV Racine, W251 BU Kenosha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored